WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. According to one report, Virginia ranks dead last among states in processing unemployment claims, and a new lawsuit seeks remedies. On the 14th anniversary of the deadly mass shooting on Virginia Tech's campus, Senator Kaine reintroduces legislation to reduce gun violence. And since its artistic director resigned earlier this year under a cloud of allegations, the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton has embraced change with a new model led by the actors. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, April 16. The U.S. Department of Labor says Virginia ranks dead last among states when it comes to processing unemployment claims. On Thursday, five Virginians filed a lawsuit because of that. Virginia Public Radio's Jad Khalil reports.
The lawsuit alleges the Virginia Employment Commission didn't respond in a timely manner to unemployment claims. Pat Levy Lavelle says the plaintiffs are just a few of thousands in the same situation.
We propose to the court that those folks represent a class of Virginians all across the state who've applied and been waiting more than 21 days for their cases to be decided.
Levy Lavelle is a lawyer with the Legal Aid Justice Center and represents the five plaintiffs. But the center says the class action lawsuit would apply to everyone if they win. The lawsuit also says the VEC cut off benefits without due process. A press release announcing the lawsuit says the problems continued despite $38 million in federal money to shore up the VEC. Levy Lavelle says the VEC told him in February they had just 69 people adjudicating cases. Since March 2020, over 1.5 million people have filed for benefits.
Just double the number of adjudication staff pre-pandemic is not nearly going to cut it. Ultimately, this case is about the way Virginia has dropped the ball with its unemployment insurance system, and Governor Northam really needs to take the lead in doing his job.
The Virginia Employment Commission didn't respond to a request for comment. I'm Jad Khalil.
State and federal investigations are underway into the Windsor Police Department's handling of a traffic stop in December. A new law in Virginia allows Attorney General Mark Herring to use his authority to probe Windsor Police Department's overall policies and training. Whitney Evans with VPM in Richmond reports.
Last summer, during a special session of the General Assembly, lawmakers voted to allow the Attorney General to investigate local police departments for patterns of excessive force, bias, and illegal searches.
If there is a broader pattern of unconstitutional policing or misconduct, then it means we have more work to do to make sure that this never happens again.
Herring said he'll try to reach an agreement with the department on new policies and training.
If the department is unwilling to do that, we can go into court and ask for a court to order it, even without the consent of the department.
Windsor Police Chief Rodney Riddle said during a press conference Wednesday he welcomes the investigations. In a widely shared video, Riddle's officers threatened Army Lieutenant Karan Nazario at gunpoint and pepper sprayed him while he sat in the driver's seat.
Whitney Evans reporting. Today is the 14th anniversary of the mass shooting at Virginia Tech. Senator Tim Kaine says more can be done to stop gun-related deaths, and he's reintroducing legislation to reduce gun violence. Ian Stewart, also with VPM, reports.
Kaine says Virginians have been grappling with the scar tissue of gun violence since the Virginia Tech shooting in 2007. And the senator added everyday shootings happen when guns are too easily available.
We don't have to be bystanders to violence, and we don't have to be bystanders when bad things happen.
On Thursday, Kaine reintroduced his own gun bill called the Virginia Plan. Senator Mark Warner is the co-sponsor. The legislation calls for measures similar to those adopted by the General Assembly last year, like having background checks for all firearm sales and limiting handgun purchases to one per month. Kaine says if Virginia can pass what he calls common sense gun control bills, then Congress can as well.
Ian Stewart reporting. Colin Goddard was a 21-year-old student at the time. He was shot but survived. Goddard says prior to the shooting, he was uncertain about what he wanted to do with his life.
The shooting helped reprioritize things, and it helped clear a path forward to engage myself personally and professionally into an activity I felt was really meaningful and contribute to society, trying to take the negative experience and put it towards something positive.
Since the shooting, Goddard has focused on preventing gun violence at the local, state, and national levels. Finally today, since its artistic director resigned earlier this year under a cloud of allegations, the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton has embraced change with a new model led by the actors. WMRA's Mike Tripp takes us backstage.
My husband?
I have done the deed. Dost thou not hear a noise?
Actors Zoe Spees and Chris Johnston read lines as Macbeth and Lady Macbeth. It's during a March edition of Dr. Ralph Presents, a podcast featuring American Shakespeare Center's co-founder, Ralph Cohen.
I heard the owls scream and the crickets cry. Did not you speak?
This past year, the center had to adapt, and not just to the pandemic, which, as with almost all other performance venues, caused it to move to online presentations, outside performances, and then social distancing within the theater. Artistic director Ethan McSweeney stepped down in February after 2.5 years at the helm. According to a February report in the Washington Post, dozens of staff at the theater have alleged McSweeney contributed to a toxic work environment and unfair treatment of some women and people of color. We asked McSweeney to respond to those allegations. In an email, he said that they were, quote, false and remain unsubstantiated. He also said that he was happy that ongoing efforts by the Playhouse continue to get attention. Rodney Young II, chair of ASC's Board of Trustees, said he couldn't comment about any personnel matters, including McSweeney's departure. But whatever the reasons for McSweeney's exit, Young said it opened the door for the actors to take over.
It's exciting for an organization to have an opportunity, not necessarily by choice initially, to rethink how that organization is going to do what it does. The circumstances that we've confronted create for us a real opportunity to reimagine, to reconstitute, rethink how we're going to move forward.
Their choice moving forward? Four actor managers working in concert as a team.
This is not their first rodeo when it comes to this kind of actor-driven, actor-led approach to producing plays. So it made all the sense in the world to us to more formally implement this approach.
John Harrell, with ASC since 2002, is one of the four actor managers. He's responsible for text. In other words, scripts.
We've been making plays like this for a decade and a half. The sort of artistic generation side we've been doing for a long time in a mix. We've done it without directors, and then we've also done seasons where we had directors kind of back and forth. In terms of being part of a system that is running the organization, I've never been part of that. In fact, I don't know many theaters that have operated this way. I suspect that we're going to see a lot of this.
Is this the next new trend?
I think so. I think what we're seeing is a re-examination of hierarchies in this country and in this culture, and I think that what we're doing here is part of that.
Methought I heard a voice cry, sleep no more. Macbeth does murder sleep.
Chris Johnston serves as actor director for music. Macbeth is just one of the characters he has portrayed on stage.
Teamwork is essential. There's no way that we can do this without every single person pulling their weight. Every single one of us is putting in all sorts of hours. Zoe's typing up a million emails a minute, it seems like. John's been working on text, cutting all of the plays. I've been going through tons of music. Carter has been handling contract negotiations with directors and playwrights.
That's Brandon Carter, the actor manager who serves as, quote, ambassador.
But that's only us four, and there's education, there's development, there's the box office. Every single person has something to do, and it's not just one person in these departments. There are other people, and they are all very busy.
We're only a few months into this. I've really enjoyed watching all these groups within our company that make up the theater delegating and sort of standing up for what they do and the work being shared. And if you are the person who designs this work, you should say how it gets done. It doesn't make sense for me to tell you how to do that work.
As with anything, there are growing pains.
Rehearsal is trial and error. We see the experiment taking place and watch the results happening in real time. We won't know how this new model will work until we bring that audience back.
Speaking of their audience,
we have some really cool and diverse seeds planted in the ground that I'm looking forward to see how they come up as the spring progresses.
A kingdom for stage, princes to act, and monarchs to behold the swelling scene.
Carter reads lines from Act 1 prologue of Henry V.
We have been reconfiguring what this place looks like and trying to go about it the best way possible with where the nation is right now. I think we will be a stronger company, and we're so focused on getting back to the original storyline of what the ASC is about, maintaining our ensemble signature. That's what this company was built on, and I think that's what these walls hold, is our legacies. I really strongly believe our audiences will see that joy that they always love coming to see us, rooted in the text, rooted in storytelling, rooted in challenging Shakespeare at his core. A different but stronger company.
ASC's new season starts in May. They begin with The Scottish Play, followed by Henry V, All's Well That Ends Well, and a fourth as yet unnamed title. For WMRA News, I'm Mike Tripp.
Learn more about that story at WMRA.org or on the app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Friday.